Morning, everyone. Today's Daf Erevin is Daf Yud Zayin, last Daf of the first Perek of Masechta Erevin. And today we finished the discussion of Lechi V'Korah, at least for now. We're finishing up the first topic of the Masechta, how to be Masakin Yer Mavui. Although today, really, not much in terms of Lechi, not much in terms of Korah. Today, a lot of discussion of Omri Kaparutz, and then we're going to really go off topic. The last Mishnah, the last Sugya of the Perek, really goes off off the page. But in the meantime, however, we're finishing up from yesterday, and yesterday we asked the following question. Can we say, do we say, this concept of Omen Merubala Parutz when it comes to horizontal direction, meaning in terms of vertical direction? So we spent a lot of time discussing that topic. We talked about going out into the field, making a makeshift Rishus Yachid, taking your camels, your backpacks, your saddles, and making a circumference, a ring, using all those items, as long as you have more wall than airspace, so that's going to be good. Lengthy discussion we had in yesterday's daf regarding Amud Kib Parutz, what if it's 50-50? The conclusion of the Gemara is that it's a machlokus between Rav Papa and Rav Yehoshua, or Rav Huna Breid, Rav Yehoshua, but the conclusion of the Gemara is that that would be okay. Amud Kaparutz works in the world of Mechitza, although, as Tosus points out, in other halachas it doesn't work. In Shechita it doesn't work, and Tosus says you got to make some sort of distinction, although Tosus himself does not. The and then we learned a Mishnah yesterday when Tezayin Amud Beis, just in terms of review, we learned a Mishnah yesterday, and the Mishnah talked about creating loved walls. Walls using the concept of lavud. The concept of lavud is very straightforward. Anything that's within three tefachim of one another is as if it is closed. So if I have two strings and the distance between them is less than three tefachim, so the area between those two strings are considered closed off. So it's very easy now to create a halachic wall using three strings. Now the totality of the width of those strings has to be a full tefach. So basically now what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a from the ground to my first string less than three tefachim. From the first string to the second string, less than three tefachim. From the second string to the third string, less than three tefachim. Also, the width, the total width of all strings combined are going to be a little bit more than a tefach. And now what you have in total is a wall made up of 10 tefachim. That works. That's what we learned in the Mishnah, although with a little bit of hesitation and a little bit of reservation. I'll come back to that point later on this morning in terms of what exactly the reservation is, where's the hesitation, in terms of why it works, but it works. So now, as long as we discuss this topic of horizontal walls created through the use of lavud, the Gemara now is going to revisit the discussion of Omen Merubah Laparetz, and the Gemara now wants to know, we know it works vertically, does it also work horizontally? This is the Gemara's question. This is where we're picking it up from where we left off yesterday. As you see on the side, I have some pictures. If you have the book, you'll see the pictures in the book. Either way, you'll get the basic sense of where the discussion is going. We're starting right from the Gemara Amar of Hamanuna Amar Rav. The Gemara starts off right in the middle of the Amud on Tezayin Amud Beis, right after the Mishnah Amar Rav. Hare Amram in Merubala Parts B'Shesi Have Omed. Now look, when it comes to Shesi, when it comes to the vertical positioning, so we said Omed Merubala Parts, that works. But by Rav Hamanuna Ba Arev Mai. But what about horizontally? Does Omri Merubah Laparetz work horizontally? I'm Rabbi Tashma. Shir Chavalim Vavian Yasal Tefach Shiug HaKol Asar Tefachim. So the Gemara says, okay, well, let's go back to our Mishnah, because what does our Mishnah describe? It describes a scenario where I created lavud walls horizontally, kind of like what you see on the board over there, although every gap is less than three tefachim. V'i salam ali yasal tefach le'ava pachos mishlosha. V'chevo mashu pachos mishlosha. V'chevo mashu pachos me'arba. V'chevo mashu. So the Gemara says, now, why was it that when our Mishnah created level walls, why was the area between each section a little bit less than three tefachim? Isn't it possible that we could have done one of those configurations? Now, if you look on the board, now, on the top row, I said three, three, and four. Every time I said three, please understand it means a little bit less than three, because that three itself, we no longer say lavud, so three really means a little bit less than three. But the Gemara now wants to know, instead of making thick ropes, why not make a configuration somewhat similar to what I drew on the board, where either the bottom is going to be four, the top is going to be four, the middle is going to be four? Why didn't the Mishnah do that? And so the Gemara wants to conclude, I'll tell you why, because we don't say Omid Merubah Laparetz horizontally, we only say it vertically. That's the Gemara's argument that's trying to present right now. Vitizbara.
The Gemara is assuming that those threes are like Omid?
Yeah. In other words,
that's
any.
Like a huge assumption.
Yeah. In other words, correct. Correct. Very. I had the same thought in my mind as well in terms of how once you say lavud, not only is it a halachic wall, but it's a real wall, and to the point we're going to say omid. Yeah, agreed. Agreed. But yes, the Gemara is thinking in those terms. Vitizbra, the Gemara says, now is that going to make sense? In other words, what we're going to now do is we're going to go through all three configurations and we're going to point out it has nothing to do with the principle of Omid. There are other issues in terms of why none of those walls are going to work. Let's go step by step. Because think about it. Where are we going to put our positioning of four? So let's suggest we're going to put on the bottom. That's now picture number one to my left, to our left. So that's a problem because, as we know, anytime a wall does not impede the progress of animals, of small animals, it is not a wall. This is what's called mechitza tuluya. We've now seen the concept mechitza tuluya a number of times in the first parak. So number one has to be ruled out, having nothing to do with the principle of omen ruba laparuks, just simply because once the gap on the bottom is four tefachim, and now it no longer impedes progress of small animals, it's not a mechitza. It's a mechitza tuluya, and that doesn't work. So number one, we're going to rule out out of hand. Now we're going to the second picture that I drew up on the board. What about putting the four slat on the top? So well, that's a concept that we've also seen earlier in the Masechta, and that's the following. That is only one rope. In other words, on the top rope, okay? That is a single rope that exists on the very top over there, and that rope is going to be nullified. We have airspace coming from the bottom, which is, again, a gap greater than three tefachim, so that's now airspace. Airspace coming from the top, that's the entire, that's all the air above it. And so what you have is now total bittul of that little rope. That little rope is literally hanging on a thread. It's literally. And it is basically being nullified from both sides, both from the top and the bottom, and so therefore you don't have a rope over there. So once again, that's not going to work as well. Imokim labim itziya. So now, what are we left to suggest? Left to suggest now the third picture. Now that seems to work because basically now that, again, every time I wrote three, it means less than three. You have just under three on the bottom, just under three on the top. We close each part because of lavud, and so now all you're left with is a gap of four in the middle. If we're subscribing to the principle of omid meruba laparutz horizontally, shouldn't that work? So the Gemara is going to explain that that's not going to work as well. So the problem with that one is as follows. Yes, it's omen merubal aparutz, but only in combination. Meaning I can't look at the four against the bottom three. I can't look against four against the top three, because when we say omen merubal aparutz, as we described earlier, it has to be where the gap has to be narrower than the post next to it. Here, it's not. Four is greater than three below it. Four is greater than three above it. Now, what do you want to argue? That four is greater than six? Meaning, why don't we combine the two sides and say, simply, six is greater than four? The Gemara says, that's omen merubal aparutz shtei ruchos. Now, if you remember, a couple days ago in the daf, we pointed out that's debatable, that's controversial, whether or not we subscribe like that. There are Amoraim that subscribe like that, but basically the Gemara says, that's a hot topic button, let's not go there. So in other words, that would only work if you subscribe to Omen Merubal HaParutz Mishtei Ruchos. And because we don't want to get involved in that, so therefore, that's why the Mishnah didn't choose that case as well. So in other words, there is simply no case that the Mishnah could have chosen, not case numbers 1, 2, or 3, that's why it may be in principle omen merubal aparutz does work horizontally. But the Mishnah couldn't use any of those configurations simply because they're not going to work. Gedim bokim bo is a problem with number 1. Asi avir mehagisa is a problem with number 2. And number 3 is that it's omen merubal aparutz, but only with the combination of the top and the bottom. Okay, that is that's the problem with our Mishnah. So our Mishnah simply does not speak to the cannot speak to the case of omen merubal aparutz. So the Gemara says, okay, so how about this? Let's make a new configuration. And again, we can't use our Mishnah and the loved ropes simply because there is no case that would work in. But let's make a totally new configuration. That's the picture below. We're going to take a beam that's 7 and a little bit more. Now that beam, actually, I know this is confusing, but it's not really a beam. It's a slat, but it's not really a slat. It's four in the top and three below it. Now there is a little bit of a rim at the bottom of that slat. So in other words, right, the second rope above is really the bottom slat of that entire slat. So four and three is one, but with a gaping hole in the three area. V'chalkak ba'gimel v'shavak ba'dalid u'ma, I'm sorry, v'shavak ba'dalid ma'ashu v'ukme v'pachos me'gimel. So basically, if you take a look at that picture over there, just a shade below three tfachim, the bottom of the slat is placed. Three tfachim, sorry, a little bit less than, three tfachim of airspace, four tfachim of solid wall. So now good. So isn't now that going to work if we assume Omen Merubala Paritz? To which the Gemara says, basically, Rav Ashi Amar. Okay, good. That would be the scenario in which we can question whether or not Omen Merubala Paritz works horizontally. So again, now if you look again at that picture.
How is it different than the middle picture?
Because
I understand it's filled in, but we had worked under the assumption that Omen Merubala Paritz.
The problem with this picture over here is that Asi Avir Mehai Giso Mevatos. Here, because now this is all filled in, so now it's actually four wall, three airspace, less than three. Lava now fills in the bottom. This is now filled in, so now we have four, we have three, and now we have a three gate. If you say Omen Merubala Paritz, and it is not Omen Merubala Paritz Mishtei Ruchos, because this by itself is greater than this, so it's just one side was all you need. So now, with all that said and done, that would be the case. That would be the scenario in which we would say, where we get the question whether or not Omen Merubala Paritz works horizontally. It's funny, the Gemara asks the question, and then the Gemara gives the case, and then the Gemara kind of just, okay, we get to move on. But what we did gain, and no, we gained a lot though, because what we did gain is all those scenarios of 3-3-4, 4-3-3, 3-4-3, why that wouldn't even fall under the category of Omen Merubala Paritz. Okay, well, we're continuing the Gemara. V'shavak badala, d'mashu v'ukme b'achum migamon. Rav Ashi amar mechitzu tuli ba'ilei. Rav Ashi says, you know what the question was? No, the question was about a hanging wall. K'dabai minei rabbi tavla mirav mechitzu tuli amahu shetater b'chorva. The question wasn't Omen Merubala Paritz because it works. It works vertically, it works horizontally. The question was hanging walls. Amalein mechitza tulei matarasal b'mayim. And then the Gemara goes back to a patented answer, an answer that we've seen already a couple of times. If it's a hanging wall, in other words, it is not close to the ground, it's not within three tefachim of the ground, it works, but only under very limited circumstances, and that is by water. If that wall gives us the ability to draw water on Shabbos, so then we're going to use such a wall. Otherwise, the Chachamim do not permit the usage of such a wall. Ela b'mayim kalhu shekilu Chachamim b'mayim, the Chachamim were maker when it comes to water. Good. Okay. Makifim b'kandim. Now, this next little bit of Gemara is going to get a little bit complicated, as if that was easy, by the way. Now, that part was... But the truth of the matter is, once you see it, it's really not that hard. But now we move on to the next part of the Gemara. And basically, now the story goes as follows: we've learned in our Mishnah the halacha about lavud and creating walls just simply using lavud. Now you saw already in the Mishnah that there's a lot of reservation of whether these walls always work, or the Chachamim kind of mitigated the amount of usage we get out of those walls. In fact, if you look back at the Mishnah, we're going to quickly review the Mishnah. Mekifin shosha chavalim zulam ala mizu v'zulam ala mizu uvavashiyu bein chaval chaver shosha tfachim shir chavalim v'ovyen yesa al tefach kidei shiyu akol asara tfachim. Good, the Mishnah presents a scenario where I have three ropes creating horizontal loved walls. Mekifin bekan uvavashiyu lo yibin kan ala chaver shosha tfachim. Then the Mishnah gives us an example where we're creating lavud vertically. One pole next to one pole next to one pole, as long as the distance between them is less than three tefachim, that's going to work. Then look at the next part of the Mishnah. This is important as it's going to impact now our discussion in the Gemara. Bishayara dibru divrei Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, yeah, you know when you can do all this? That's if you're going out in a caravan. You're traveling. Things are tough when you're traveling, especially for Shabbos, especially if you want to make a Rishus Yachal on Shabbos. So then, Shayara, caravan, then you're allowed to use such a wall. Otherwise, no. And the Chachamim said, no, they use the example of Shayara because that's when you're generally going to need it. but you could use it even when it's not a shayara. Then the Mishnah goes on. Once again, you have an opinion. Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda basically shakes his head at these loved walls. If it's Shesi and Erev, if it's crisscross, if it's both vertical and horizontal, that's good. Otherwise, no. And again, we don't get a good sense from the Mishnah. What, in other words, we know he's not happy. But what does that mean halachically? We're going to talk more about that. Right, another right. Where exactly? What is he? We know what his feeling is, but what does that mean? The chachamim omer mecha mishnei dvarim, and the chachamim say no, either one is fine. Shesi is fine. Erev is fine, and I don't need the crisscross. Good. So that's the Mishnah. Now the Mishnah, you get basically two sides of the Mishnah. The chachamim, by the way, and it's repetition, which the Gemara is of course going to be bothered by. But the chachamim, both A and B, are both saying it's good. It's fine. And then you have two opinions. You have Rav Yehuda and Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, who are both not okay with it. According to Rav Yehuda, for a shayara it's all right, but otherwise no. And according to Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, sounds like he's just simply unhappy. But when we're talking Mishnah, we're talking Gemara, like that's not a good word. In other words, that's not an operational definition word. We're going to try to give definition to what does that mean, he's unhappy. Okay, so we'll go through now the Gemara. And the Gemara discusses and puts it into context. So, v'shayarim b'yachid lo, v'hatayim. Now, in our Mishnah, what does Rav Yehuda say? If you're with a shayara, that's good. If you're not with a shayara, that's not good. And obviously also, again, we're learning Gemara, you know all this is going to take place. We have to define what a shayara is. The Gemara is going to do that momentarily. But in the meantime, however, before all that, the Gemara quotes another brayso, Rav Yehuda omer, kol mechitzo shabbos, lo etir liyachid, yosem mi beis asayim. So when it comes to Mechitza Shabbos, so it was only permitted for an individual, but it was not permitted for an individual greater than a Beis HaSayim, greater than 5,000 square amas. We've already seen that term before. You're going to see that term a lot. The Beis HaSayim is basically maximum area. Okay? Now obviously it can get much larger than Beis HaSayim, but when the Chachamim looked at a Rosh HaSayachid, if it's an inferior Rosh HaSayachid, like our case, where the walls are constructed through lavud, if it's an inferior Rosh HaSayachid, so basically the Chachamim say we're going to cap it. We're going to cap the amount of space that can be used to Beis HaSayim, which is 5,000 square amas. Here's the problem. The problem is that we're trying to make agreement between Rav Yehuda of our Mishnah and Rav Yehuda of the Braisa. Rav Yehuda of the Mishnah says, when can I use my inferior lavud walls? Shayara. Has to be a caravan. Has to be a group of people. In the Braisa, it says if you're an individual and you want to make lavud walls, you may do so, but cap it at 5,000 square amas. So the Gemara says, so how do I, right now it's just one simple goal, to be miyashiv Rav Yehuda of the Mishnah and Rav Yehuda of the Braisa. So kedam Rav Nachman, v'tem Rav Bibi Barabai, l'nitzucha l'itin lehem kol tzarchan. Hachinami l'itin lehem kol tzarchan. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the difference is. Rav Yehuda really allows lavud walls to be created, both for a group, for a caravan, and for an individual as well. However, for an individual, it's 2,000 square amas, and that's it. Done. You can't, 5,000 square amas, that's it, done. You cannot enclose an area, according to Rav Yehuda, using lavud walls for anything less than a Beis HaSayim. Period. If you're, however, with a shayar, if you're with a caravan, so then you can make these lavud walls as needed. Whatever your needs may be, that's what you can make the lavud wall for. Now, hechid, mad Rav Nachman, v'tem Rav Bibi, b'Rabbi, ha-dadnan, kol mechitza, she'en ha-shashasi, v'erev, v'ne mechitza, dir Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, and look, we're going to get to see basically the same idea repeated again. We have the statement of Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah, which basically he's shaking his head at walls that are just shesi, or walls that are just Erev. An individual and a caravan can use the rope wall, the lavud wall. If it's one person, if it's two people, Beis HaSayim is the maximum in which you can enclose using the lavud walls. Gimel, Nasu Shayara Venoslam Beis Shesh, Divra Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. And once you are three people, now you have Shayara status, and now you can close a greater area. By greater area, what do we mean? Beis Shesh. Right? Three people, assuming each person is going to need two beis asayim, so now 2 times 3, 6 sa'a of space can be enclosed. Divrei Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda. So now, what just happened? This is Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda. The same Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda who are in our Mishnah is just shaking his head and saying no. So obviously, when he's shaking his head in the Mishnah, he's saying no. He's not saying no absolutely. He's saying that with serious limitation, serious reservation. The Chachamim say no. I don't care whether it's an individual or if it's a caravan. As needed. If you need more room for your loved walls, for your rope walls, you make as much room as you need. My only reservation for the Chachamim is that as much as you need, but then you can't. No leisurely space, meaning you can't exceed 2,000. Sorry, a beis asayim more than what you need. That's the only reservation of the chachamim. So again, right now, once again, we're just trying to understand Rav Yosi, Rav Yehuda, Am Rav Nachman, Bitema, Rav Bibi, Barabai, Lo Nitzuchah, Lo Yitain Lahem Kol Tzarchan. Once again, same basic point that even Rav Yosi, Rav Yehuda, who is not happy with loved walls, what does that mean? Not happy. It means that for their needs that they can do, anything above and beyond what their needs are, that you cannot use the loved walls. And when we say their needs, according to Rav Yosi and Rav Yehuda, that means a cap of a beis asayim. Adkan. So basically now, what we're saying in our Mishnah is that, according to Rav Yosi and Rav Yehuda, when they don't like the loved walls, it means their walls, they're just inferior walls. And by inferior walls, there's a reservation, there's a limitation in terms of what they can be enclosing. According to Rav Yehuda, well, we're going to point out the subtle difference between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yosi and Rav Yehuda. But basically, if you're not a Shayar, according to Rav Yehuda, you can't use it. Correct? No. Okay, sorry. We'll point that out. We'll point out the differences in just a moment. But in other words, they basically are significantly limiting the usage of these loved walls. According to the Chachamim, you can use it under any circumstance, whether you're a caravan or whether you're an individual, and as much as you need.
What's Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda? What's an gzeira? If it works in the Doraisa level.
Right.
So what's an gzeira? I understand that.
Right? Why? I don't know. Why is he so hesitant with these walls? I don't know. And he's giving it karmala status. In other words, if you're enclosing an area too big, it doesn't work. It's asmid derabanan. Right. And the why is hard to tell. I can't tell you. Darsh Rav Nachman Shem Rabbeinu Shmuel Yachin Nosan Lo Beis Asayim Beis Nosan Beis Asayim Gimel Nasu Shayar V'Nosan Beis Sheish. So now Rav Nachman comes out with a psak. Meaning what he's trying to do now is take all the information we just learned, which, by the way, is a lot of information, processing all that information, and now arrives at the following halachic conclusion. If you're one person and you want to enclose with a rope, go for it. If you're two people and you want to enclose with a rope, go for it, but by going for it, meaning, but only at a base asayim limit. No more. If you're three people, now you have shayara status and you can go up to 6. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. So then they turned to Rav Nachman, they said, that's strange. Meaning, well, who in the Mishnah are you following? Because it sounds like what you're doing is you're following like Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah, who basically says that when you are a caravan, then you can go beis asayim per person. But the Chachamim in our Mishnah don't give any limitation. Once they're a shayara, you can make it as large as you want. So I don't get it. Hadokim Rav Nachman Amor Alav Adarash. Rav Nachman gets up the next morning and he says, you know, Dvarim Shemat Lef Nechem Tosim Biyadi. I made a mistake. Barim Kach Amru Yachin Nosan LeBeis Asayim Shayim Nosan LeBeis Asayim Shoshan Asu Shayar Rav Nosan Lem Kol Tzarchan. So Rav Nachman gets up the next day and he says, I made a mistake. One or two people, you don't have Shayar status. You can use the loved walls, but only at a beis asayim cap. If you're now three, you have now shayara status, and now you can make the loved walls, the rope walls, as big as you need. Reisha Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda v'Seifa Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, okay, but I'm still a little bit confused by Rav Nachman's psak. So because in the Sefer he follows like the Chachamim. Once you're a Shayara, as large as you need. But then in the Reisha, he is capping. He's saying that if you are one or two people and you don't have Shayara status, you can only make your rope walls up to a Beis HaSayim. So the Gemara says, why by an individual does he fall into the position of Yosef Rav Yehuda where there's limitation? So the Gemara says in the top of Yitzayin Amad Aleph, Mishum Dekayavua Bishita Say, because on this issue, Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda agrees with Rav Yehuda. Meaning in our Mishnah, it really is a tag team position of restriction and limitation. It is both Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda and Rav Yehuda. So Rav Nachman felt that if you're not Shayara, if you're not caravan status, so then there's going to be restriction upon you. Amrav Gidol Amrav Shosha B'Chamesh Asurin B'Sheva Mutarin. Rav Gidol Amrav makes the following statement, which in of itself is nearly impossible to decipher. If you are 3 in 5, it's prohibited, but if it's 7, it's permissible. Okay? It's cryptic. It's absolutely cryptic. And without Gemara explanation, we would have simply no idea what's going on over here. I'm sorry. So, did you really hear that? Meaning, is that... Did Rav really say that? So, alright. So he says, look, by the Torah, by the Navi, by the Ksuvim Rashi, he says it's a Lashon Shvua. Meaning, yes, Rav absolutely said it. I'm Ravashi, my kasha domahachi kamer. So Ravashi, and by the way, we're going from Rav to Ravashi, meaning we're covering the entire gamut of the Amoraim. But it took 5 generations of Amoraim before we finally understood, deciphered what Rav meant. Lo hutzruch l'sheish, I'm sorry, hutzruch l'sheish v'kifu b'sheva, afilu b'sheva mutar. Look, what did we learn? That once you're Shayara status, you can rope around as much as you need. You can't exceed your need by two sa'ah. Right? That's the only limitation. Meaning, so if I need however much I need, I just can't exceed my need by more than 2 sa'ah. So, actually, the Gemara later on was going to give a little bit better definition, but so hachikamar hutzruchu l'sheish v'kifu misheva afil b'sheva mutar. Look, if I need 6 sa'ah of space and I enclose an area of 7 sa'ah, so good. So then I could use all 7. Lo hutzrucha el chamesh, but if all I need is 5 sa'ah of space, v'yikifu b'sheva, and I enclosed an area of 7 sa'ah, afil b'chamesh asurin. Now that I exceeded my need by 2 sa'ah, so now that enclosure is now rabbinically a non-entity, and the Chachamim gave the entire status of the entire area a karmelus-like status, which means that you can't carry in the entire area. And then the Gemara here gives somewhat of a qualification in terms of what exactly does need mean. Need has nothing to do with people. Need has to do with the amount of kalim that you brought on. Okay, idmar. All right, good. So basically now, here's where we're at in the Gemara. Okay, that was a little bit of Gemara and a lot of information and a little bit complex. Meaning basically now, we know that these ropes, these loved walls that are created on Shabbos, so are they walls? Yes, they are. Are they somewhat inferior? Yes, they are. Why are they inferior? I can't put that into terms. I don't know why it is, but it clearly is. As long as you need it. Meaning, again, it's a loose definition of what need is. Spread out, closed in, but... Okay, anyway. So there are restrictions. In our Mishnah, we have 2 Chachamim's positions, which basically don't really make much restriction or limitation. The only limitation that they see is that it can't exceed 2 sa'ah more than what you need, as we just learned now. The cryptic statement of Rav. Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda and Rav Yehuda both put caps and limitations in exactly when you could use these ropes. If you're a Shayara, then you could use it. If you're not a Shayara, so then it's only a 2 sa'ah cap. And as we're going to learn a little bit later on, there may even be another subtle difference between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, but they really don't give allowances for the use of these levered walls. Okay, and then we have the Psak of Rav Nachman, where Rav Nachman basically takes a somewhat of a blended position, where if you're 1 or 2 people and you don't have Shayara status, so then you could use the levered walls, but only for a Beis HaSayim, maximum. regardless of what your needs are. And if you are a shayara of three people, so now you could use these loved walls as big as you need, as much as you need, just can't exceed your need by two sa'ah. That's where we are right now. And now the Gemara has an interesting discussion based on our conclusion, which is the following. So in other words, to make these loved walls really big, you need to have a shayara, which as we've defined means a group of three people. And now the Gemara asks the following question. Morbid question, but it's a great question. The
but it means a temper when you say shayara, it's a temporary thing.
Which we're in transit. Itmar. Shlosha umesa echad mehem. So let's say now we're shayara, we're traveling, we're a group of three, and then one person dies on Shabbos. Right? It's the Gemara asks these questions. It's really fantastic. So you are, and so now on Shabbos with one person dead. So again, the halachic consideration. Of course, you know it's emotional, but then we turn to halachic consideration, and like a clinician, we're going to ask the following question. Well, now can I carry in this area? Because the only license that we had to carry in such an area is that we're shayara. But now we're no longer shayara. So, good, excellent. So in other words, it really is, meaning aside from the fact that I just love the fact that the Gemara turns an emotional event and turns it into a legal discussion, I mean, that really speaks to me. But aside from that, really the larger question, which is, does status change on Shabbos? That's really what the question is over here. It's an excellent question, which has a number of different permutations. We're going to see on this daf just a couple of them. So, or shnayim v'nitosfu aleihem, or let's say we're two, and then along comes a third. Now, where did he come from? Did he travel outside of Tchum? Hard to imagine. Are we talking about the birth of a baby? I find that hard to believe also. But in other words, okay, I don't know how he arrived, but he arrived here on Shabbos. So can he now inject Shayara status into our group now? It's no longer a group of two, it's a group now of three. So Rav Huna, Rav Yitzchak Hanama, Shabbos Goramis V'chanama, Diyurin Gormin. So now, what's the Gorim? Meaning, what sets our status? Is Shabbos that our status? Meaning, however we go into Shabbos, that's it. If we were three people going into Shabbos, we now have Shayara status, and we remain Shayara status, even if, God forbid, we lose one over the course of Shabbos. And conversely, if we're two people going into Shabbos, even if a third comes on Shabbos, but Shabbos is Gorim, meaning on the onset of Shabbos, since we're only two, we don't have Shayara status, and we can't get Shayara status over Shabbos. That's the position of one of these Amoraim. V'chanama diur and garmin, the other position is no. It's all based on the actual people. And if we're three and now we're down to two, we're no longer a shayara, and that status, excuse me, can change even on Shabbos. No, moving is fine. Carrying is the problem. we're not in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, so okay. No, in other words, right. In other words, from two to three, we're not changing. The case is bizarre, meaning it must be a case where I made it greater than two sa'a, and at right now we can't use it. And now, yes, it is weird. Now, tis time to Rav Huna damer Shabbos garem es damer Rabba by me Rav Huna by me Rav Yehuda irav derech a pesach v'nistem a pesach derech a chalon v'nistem a chalon mahu. The Gemara over here cites another. It's not the same, it's a related discussion where the two chaseres are side by side and there's a Pesach allowing access from one to the other. Now we're going to learn later in Masechta. They want to make two separate Eruvim, they can. They want to make one joint Eruv, they can. Let's discuss the scenario where they made a joint Eruv and then what happened is the door got locked on Shabbos. Irrevocably locked. And so now they cannot open and close the door from one another. So does that disrupt the unified Erev that they made? So the answer is, V'amar li Shabbos hol v'hutra hutra. And the answer was, well, once you went into Shabbos with an operational door, allowing access from one chaser to the other, and they made a joint Erev, so once they go into Shabbos with the status of an Erev, that status remains, even if the door gets locked for whatever reason. So Tistayim, so the Gemara says, okay, that for good. Meaning, so now we can say that the answer that was given by Rav Huna I'm sorry, by Rav Yehuda, would indicate that it's in fact Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda who previously, by the case of 2 to 3 or 3 to 2, Shabbos is the Gorim. Meaning, whatever status we go into Shabbos is the status that remains. Lema Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda, Kameh, Flugi, Didnan. So the Gemara says, well, maybe it relates now to another debate, which we're going to see later on the Masechta, coming up much later on the Masechta. We're in the Tzadis. Let's say I have a chaser that breaches on Shabbos. Let's say I have a house that breaches on Shabbos. Okay, right. Hard to imagine, but hurricane, strong wind, whatever. The walls actually coming down. Or let's say the mavui where the kor of the lechi fell on Shabbos. Now, by the way, just a couple days ago, we had a scenario, if you remember, where the lechi came down on Shabbos. Rav turned to his attendant and says, don't come anymore because the lechi's down. But anyway, the Mishnah discusses the following scenario. What if? Rav Yehuda says, for the remainder of the Shabbos, we're good. You can carry in such a house, chatzar or mavui, but not for any future Shabbosim. And Rav Yossi, Amen, Rav Yossi says, what's going on? What are you talking about? If it's mutter for that Shabbos, it's mutter for future Shabbosim. If it's usher for that Shabbos, it's usher for future Shabbosim. What are you talking about? How can you possibly say that for the remainder of the Shabbos it's okay, but next Shabbos it's not good? That's totally inconsistent. Now, Rav Yossi's position probably speaks to us a little bit better. But in the meantime, however, the Gemara wants to say, isn't that our debate that's going on right here? And the Gemara says, not at all. Lema Rav Huna Damaka Rav Yehuda Rav Yitzchak Damaka Rav Yossi. So the Gemara tries to make alignment between the two debates. Amlacha Rav Huna. So Rav Huna says, no alignment. Because over there, you're losing the very definition of what is a wall, of what's a Rishos Yachid. A Rishos Yachid is when you have Mechitzos. If you don't have Mechitzos, it's not a Rishos Yachid. So how can, it's not a question of status, it's a question of what is a Rishos Yachid. You need four walls. If two of the walls fell down, I don't have a Rishos Yachid. So of course I can't carry on over there anymore. I would totally agree with Rav Yossi, and Rav Yossi would totally agree with me. We're talking about an area where there is no disruption of the physical enclosure. It's just a question of one person died, and we don't have Shayera status anymore. But the two debates are not at all aligned. Hacha is no lemechitzos. Over here we have mechitzos. Rav Yitzchak Amar Ana Dami Afilu Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yitzchak will say also, me too. Meaning, don't pigeonhole me as well. Because over there, you have the residence. Over here, you simply don't have the residence. Meaning, we have three people. One of them died. We only have two people. We lost the whole definition of a shayar is based on the three people. We no longer have that. So in other words, he doesn't necessarily disagree with me. So the Gemara says, do not create alignment between our debate over here amongst the Amoraim of losing Shayara status and that debate later on in the Masechta regarding the walls falling down. The Chachamim Amar Mechem Mishnei Dvarim. Now, the Chachamim's position in the Mishnah is repeated twice. Why? So the Gemara says there's a subtle difference between the two. I'm sorry, Hainu Tanakama, Ika Beinayu, Yachid Beyisha. Can I do the following? Can I make these loved walls, according to the Chachamim, not while I'm traveling, but in town? Meaning, I'm in the city, I'm not traveling. We know the Chachamim are more relaxed while traveling, or even while you're in your home city or in your hometown. That's the subtle difference between the Tanakam and the Chachamim. And oh, by the way, without Rashi, I wouldn't be able to tell you which one is even more lax. You'll see Rashi inside. Rashi goes on to describe who of the two is even more relaxed. But one of the positions is that even be Yishuv, I can use these lovered walls. Okay. That brings us now to the next mission, the final discussion of the first parak of Erevin. And that's the following. Now, we just learned that when you're traveling, and certainly when you're a Shayara, so you're allowed certain leniencies. I mean, leniencies. Meaning, you can make lovered walls around you. Good. This last Mishnah over here is going to be really fascinating, and I'm going to do it really quickly, unfortunately. And that is that there are going to be other times and circumstances where you can relax on halacha because of the given circumstances. When you're in a machane, meaning you're in a camp. Well, you're going to see. You're going to see some of the examples coming up. In other words, you're right. In other words, in the case of lava, yes, yes. And for whatever reason, the chachamim are machmirin when you're shayara. Yeah.
I don't understand the mechanism. It makes a bunch of strings.
Correct. Arba'at dvarim pashu b'machane when you're going out to war. So, right, the wartime obviously is shasa dechak. It's the time of a lot of stress, a lot of strain. A number of relaxations of halacha. Mevin etzim mikol makom. So number one says a mishnah: you get wood, you can fetch wood from wherever you want. It's not called theft; it's called getting wood. Upeter mirchitzas yadayim. You don't have to wash your hands before you eat bread. Number three, midamai. You don't have to eat. I'm sorry. You can eat demai. And number four, you don't have to make an eruv. Okay, everything here needs definitions, further definitions. We start with the Gemara Tanur Rabbanan Machane HaYotzel Samachanam Esner Rishos. Now, first of all, the Brice over here says that in our mission didn't make this point. The Brice makes this point very clearly that the Machane that goes out to Mechamas Rishos, there are two types of war. There's Mechamas Mitzvah, defending Eretz Yisrael, defending the original borders of Eretz Yisrael, a war against Amalek under any circumstance. So that's Mechamas Mitzvah. Then there's Mechamas Rishus, annexation. If we're interested in enlarging the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, so they do it with the king, with the permission of Beis Din. So this is what's called Mechamas Rishus, annexation. So if you're going out, Mechamas Rishus, but permission was granted by the king. So Mutarim Begezel Eitzim, so you're allowed to Yevashim, you're allowed to steal wood. Rav Yehuda Ben Tema Amar Afchon B'chol Makom. You can sleep wherever you want. And also, in the place where you die, so you acquire that spot to be buried. Okay, now let's go through step by step. First of all, stealing wood is not stealing. Even if it's not wartime, even if it's peacetime. When we went into Eretz Yisrael, Yehoshua says, look, we're going to finally have a homeland. And when we get our homeland, yeah, you understand that to live in a society, there's got to be a lot of give and a lot of take, and what Yehoshua designed. When we get to Baba Kama, we're going to see all this in much greater detail. Is that he made a number of institutions so that when we live in Eretz Yisrael, he can't have these petty fights, and so he instituted a number of institutions. One of them is that someone can go into your property and take wood. Okay. And there's not going to be any squabble, and it's one of the takanas that Yehoshua made when we went into Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara here has a very simple question. Now that you know that, so then what's our special heter for the machane, for the wartime? So the Amar Mar, the Gemara first of all quotes the Gemara Baba Kama, Asar Tanaim Hisna Yehoshua Shiu Merein Bechorshin Omalaktim Eitzim Misadoseim. So I can have my animals graze in other people's forests, and I can simply collect other wood from other people's properties. Okay, and that's fine. So the Gemara says, so what's our special heter over here? So first of all, the takan of Yehoshua is hizmi vihigi. Shrubs and bushes that don't grow and don't produce fruit. And in other words, they're basically things that people generally don't care about. By the way, even with Takanas Yehoshua, I could so see so much fighting going on. What are you doing? You're taking that? That's not hizmi vihigi. That's okay, but anyway, but you get the basic idea. So anyway, so the Takana Yehoshua is by Hizmi the Higi, like really inferior bush. So Inami Hasim Mechubar Ma'acha Betulushim, or what you could say is that the Takana of Yehoshua allows me to pick off trees that are not detached. But if they're already detached by the owner of the property, that you don't have the rights to take. And if you're in wartime, so then you can take even the detached. See, Nami Hasan Balachim, Hachabiyavashim. Also over there, maybe if it's wet wood, which really has no use, so then other people can take it. But once it's dry, under peacetime circumstance, nobody can take it. But if it's wartime, you can take it even if it's dry and now functional. So again, so the Gemara gives a number of suggestions of what do we add over here with the wartime over the peace. The Gemara asks the obvious question. It's a meis mitzvah, meaning if somebody dies, so of course he's entitled to the area in which he died under the laws of meis mitzvah. Meis mitzvah, karna mekamo. We know the halachas meis mitzvahs kohen mekomo. The Gemara elsewhere, do not ask me where, I don't remember, tells the story of Rabbi Akiva, where he found the meis mitzvah, he actually picked up the meis mitzvah and transported it, and the response that was given to Rabbi Akiva is every step you took was an avera, meaning a nice try. But in other words, meis mitzvah kohen mekomo, meis mitzvah requires a spot. So lo tricha, the Gemara says, so what do we gain over here? Af the islay kovrim, that in wartime, so even if he's not a meis mitzvah, meaning even if there are people who are able to bury him, but one of the advantages of war is that even if you're not a meis mitzvah, you could be buried in your spot. This islay kovrim, the tanya willing to the brisa, he's a meis mitzvah, kol shein lo kovrim. If there are people that are ready to tend to him, he's not a meis mitzvah. So under meis mitzvah terms, you're only a meis mitzvah if there literally is no one there to bury you. Meaning you have no family members, and nobody there is to bury you. Now you have meis mitzvah status, and therefore you can be buried wherever you die. However, if it's not a meis mitzvah, so then you don't simply acquire the spot in which you die, unless it's wartime. Well, meis mitzvah kind of become about tanya. I'm mostly meis muta b'stracha mifaneo liyamin astracha o lesmol astracha. If you are a meis mitzvah, you die right in the middle of the street. So you move to either to one side or to the other side. Bor v'stay near mifaneo l'stay bor. What if on one side is a pit and the other side is a plowed field? He move him to the side of the pit, meaning where it is going to be less
used.
Right, less used. Less used. Let's just leave it at that. Stay near, stay zera. What if it's a plowed field or a planted field? Mefanel, stay near. So then he's moved to the plowed field because the planted field is going to be more of a disruption, obviously. What if everything is equal? So then, whichever one you decide to choose. So Amar Abibi Hachabe Meis Muta Allah Meitzar Askina. So in other words, so you see that if the Meis Mitzvah dies in the middle of the street, you don't bury him right in the middle of the street. That would be very difficult for the public, because the public needs that street. You have to assume Kohanim can walk down that street, so you move him to the side. So the Gemara says, so what does that mean, the Meis Mitzvah is Kohanim Mekomo, if he dies by Meitzar, if he dies on the border? So because he dies on the border, so now you can move him to whichever side you want. Another thing by wartime is that you don't have to wash your hands before you eat. Washing your hands before you eat is a rabbinic institution. The Chachamim instituted it because of the Kohanim who eat the Truma, who halachically need to wash their hands before they eat the Truma. The hands are Shnios. Truma is susceptible to Shnios. The Truma can become Pasol if touching a Shein L'Truma. So therefore, the Chachamim instituted every single Jew is to wash his hands before they eat. Wartime, however, relaxation. Amar Abai lo shanu alamayim rishonim. Avamayim achronim chova. It's like we live in an upside-down world. Meaning, from the Gemara's perspective, the only thing we're going to relax on is mayim rishonim. There, that's the rabbinic institution. There, by wartime, the Chachamim relax the rules. However, when it comes to mayim achronim, of course you're going to do mayim achronim. Meaning, as a no-brainer, you're going to do mayim achronim even at wartime. You have to do mayim achronim. It's an obligation, not a mitzvah, an obligation. Because there's a sodomite salt on the food which you're eating, the hands touch your eyes, it'll blind you. You have to wash your hands afterwards. You can find a small grain of the sodomite salt even in a full core of salt. Core is 30 sa'ah. So in other words, there really is almost no dilution of the sodomite salt, so you have to wash your hands after you eat. Amalei Ravacha, Brei D'Rav, L'Ravashi, Kayal Milchama, what if you're just measuring salt? Do you need to wash your hands then? Amalei, Halo Meibai, don't even ask me that question. Of course you need to wash your hands. Any time that you're dealing with salt, you need to wash your hands. So the Gemara says that the relaxation of the rules is only for Mayim Rishonim, but not for Mayim Achronim. What about the bulk of Jewish people in this world who don't do Mayim Achronim? By the way, I'm one of them. So see Tosfos for a discussion of that. Umi Demai. And also, if you're in wartime, you can eat demai. Now, demai, an entire masechta dedicated to the topic of demai, any produce purchased from an alma arix, you're not allowed to eat that produce until you remove, separate trumas and maizros. However, it's a rabbinic stringency. The Am Haaretz probably took off trumas and maizros, probably did. The Chachamim, however, felt as a safeguard, we should do it anyway, take off trumas and maizros anyway. By the way, the Maaser, you don't have to give to the Levi off of Demai because there's a good chance the Am Haaretz did so. The Maaser I take off, what do I do with it? I keep it for myself. Amotzi mechaver al avaraya. Anyway, I'm going quickly now. So poor people can eat demai. Achsanya, guests can eat demai. Amar avuna tana beisham omrim main machilim sanim demai ves achsan demai beisham omrim machilim sanim demai ves achsan demai. The Gemara quotes a brisa. Machlokes between beisham and beisel, but the halacha is like beisel, in which that the ani and achsanai can eat demai. At wartime, you can eat demai. And finally, arev making an eruv. If you're in wartime, you don't have to make an Erev Amar. Amri debe Rav Yana lo shano Erev Chatzeros. Yeah. We're talking about making Erev Chatzeros, meaning multiple Rishus Yachids contiguous to one another, where in order to carry from one Rishus Yachid to another, or from a private to a common Rishus Yachid, you need to make Erev Chatzeros. But if it's Erev Tchom, even during wartime, we can't relax that rule. Deni Rabbi Chia Lokin al Erev Tchom in Dvar Torah. You get Malkus for Erev Tchom. Matkav Rav Yonasan V'chi Lokin Alav Sheba'al? What do you mean? It's introduced to us in the Torah with the word Al. Matkav Rav Acher B'Yakav Ela Mi'ata Dechsev Al Tifnu Al Avos V'Ela Yidonim Hachidan Achinam Edelo Lakin? So the Gemara says, well, what do you mean? Yeah. Meaning if the, sometimes the Torah introduces Alav in the, with the word, not Lo, but with the word Al. Right. Al Tifnu Al Al sorry. Al tifnu el ha'avos ve'el ha'yidonim, right? Don't consult with your women with the crystal glass ball, and right, so forth and so on. So and that's a law in the Torah. So the Gemara says, hachinami delo laki. Rav Yonasan hachi kashle. Rav Yonasan says, no, you misunderstood. Question goes like this: Lav shenitin lazaros misas meizden v'chol lav shenitin lazaros misas meizden ein lokin alav. In other words, you're not going to get Malkus because going beyond Tchum and Shabbos is a violation of Shabbos. That's a capital offense. You don't get Malkus for capital offenses. I'm Ravashi, Miksiv, Al Yotzi, Al Yetzei Tziv. No, you misunderstood. Meaning, if it's Al Yotzi, not to carry something from one Rishus to another Rishus, you're right. That's Shabbos violation. That's called the Malach of Hotza'ah. And that, of course, is a capital crime. And, of course, you're not going to get Malkus for that. What you would get Malkus for is Tchum, because Tchum is not a capital crime. Al Yetzei Ish Mimkomo. So, therefore, it's not, we're not talking about carrying. We're talking about walking beyond Tchum. That's not a capital crime. That is one of the Isurei Shabbos that do not have a capital punishment attached to it. For that, you would get Malkus. And for that, there's no relaxation of the rules for a machna, for an encampment of wartime. So in other words, again, quickly to review, we finished today the discussion of creating love with ropes, the discussion, a long discussion, a complicated discussion in terms of the Chachamim limiting the usage of these love with ropes, and then a continued discussion of what, where else the rules relax in terms of wartime. The Mishnah gave four different relaxations of rules during wartime. The Braisa gave another discussion about Meis Mitzvah. And even if you're not a Meis Mitzvah, you're Kone Mekomo for wartime. And the Gemara's ensuing discussion of what specifically do these relaxations actually mean. Hajr Lach Mavui, that is the end of the first parak of Erevin. Okay, we finish up now.